Hey guys, welcome back to the Ask a Muso podcast brought to you by Yellow Music. I'm very excited to be connecting across to the magnificent Steel City of New South Wales with four fantastic individuals that are the latest and greatest thing to come to Newcastle. So, Butterknife, introduce yourselves, ladies, and say g'day.
Hello!
My name's Gracie.
My name's Athena.
My name's Brie.
And I'm Lily.
We're an all-girl band from Newcastle. We make music. Yeah.
Beautiful. Well, the music is why we're all here. What would you describe your music to be?
It's a clusterfuck of different genres that we all like, I would say, but it all comes down to a pretty polished kind of pop-esque, like, but also punky and kind of grungy kind of boiling point, I guess.
Yeah, it's a good concoction of those pop synths and those pop feels with also a really driving rhythm section, and I like it. I think when I first heard you guys, when Brie hit me up about something else entirely, and I was like, oh, let's see who she plays with and stuff. I was like, I feel like this is no one's doing what you guys are doing. And for anyone who hasn't seen Butterknife, even just in the visual setting, it's, correct me if I'm wrong, it's the guitar, the bass, the keytar, and the drums as the arrangement.
Yeah.
Which is off the cuff, a bit unusual and different, which is awesome. How did you guys meet and start playing in the first place?
Me, Athena, and Gracie met in a high school music class, and we did a couple assignments, and then we kind of stayed there. And then we had another guitarist, but she left, and then we found Brie, and now she's here, and we like her, so we're keeping her.
Excellent, good. That's as good a reason as any to keep anyone, so that's good. So, like, have you guys been... I'm looking at, you know, your followers and looking at all the shows and stuff you played, especially at the tail end of last year. Are you sort of just snowballing from one thing to the other, or do you guys sort of have a big plan that you guys sort of got together and said, look, we're all taking it seriously, okay? Just right off the bat, we're all taking it seriously. This is what we want to achieve. Or is it all just sort of been one thing after the other popping up?
Both kind of, yeah. Well, obviously we all are really passionate about music and it's all really fun for us, and so it's kind of just, I mean, it's been quite a while since we started, and we've gone through many generations of Butterknife, and over the years, I guess, we've just kind of been put into a position where we've got a little bit of a platform going for us, and, like, we've seen quite a bit of success with, like, our streams and stuff, and so once we saw that, it was kind of like, oh, shit. We have something that we can build off of. And so I think only recently have we started to kind of be like, yeah, we maybe need to be a little bit strategic about what we're doing because we want to take advantage of the platform that we have.
Absolutely. And I think in such a oversaturated time right now, especially on social media and things, being able to stick out and having something that's different, having an edge, even just having a visually a difference with, like, even just your arrangement of the instruments. I think that being able to be yourselves and also be in control of what you want to put out, because, you know, as I said, it is oversaturated. I think being able to do that is super cool right now, especially as you guys are growing and doing things this year and into the future.
Well, it's really fun because we're fully independent, and so we basically get to have full control of what we do. It is also hard at times, though, because it's like then you have to pretty much do everything that, like, usually a whole team would do. Like, you have to do your own marketing and put yourselves out there and, like, make all the content yourselves and make all the contacts as well, on top of making the music and doing all that stuff. So, yeah. It's got pros and cons to it, but I think being independent is pretty fun.
I like what you teased there about being everyone. I know what that's like just from being different bands and playing in, say, four or five bands, and also figuring out the marketing side and all those things as well. How do you find the relationship between content and art. And I know a lot of people get real funny about it. Some people are like, look, if people don't like my music, well, stiff shit. And other people are really in that wheel of, I need to do 14 lyric video reels before the song, 14 afterwards, and I need to do 2 video clips. And what's your relationship with that between the four of you?
Oh, God.
Yeah, content is, like, we've established it is a really important part in today's media, like, to be able to stand out apart from anyone else. But I think we also do value our music a lot more than our content output, so our priority is ultimately making good music, and then when we have the time and when we can do it, we want to try and put out good content that will match that as well.
Yeah.
I was, just whilst I was doing things, preparing for the episode, I was looking back at the vlog when you guys were at the Grove Studios, and initially when I was watching it, I was like, oh, it's crazy. Did Brie not do drums on that day? And then I realized that whilst you guys were gallivanting around patting puppy dogs, she was in there setting up, and I've never aligned or related to something more in my life. What was it like recording there? Like, why did you pick there to record in the first place? Like,
yeah, well, we picked the Grove because initially I was doing an internship there. So I was just, you know, in that space, and I was talking to one of the producers, Connor Massey, and he was like super down to record us because he knew about us. And so I was like, you know what? That sounds like a good idea, because like with most of our prior releases, well, all of our prior releases, we've been just recording it and I've been producing it in my home studio. And so I thought it would be a fun experience to just try something different. And the song that we recorded, God Complex, it's a lot of a heavier song in contrast to our other songs. And so it felt like going to Connor to record it, to record the live drums as well, was the best idea for it. And so we were like, why not?
Yeah, absolutely. So take me through that process that you normally go through. So like when you guys write music, are you normally roughing it out together, playing parts? Is someone coming with something and then we're all adding our bits together in the rehearsal room? Or are you making demos because you're making predominantly most of it yourself? Are you making demos and then going, hey girls, this is what I've got?
Yeah, well, it's all of us kind of do stuff in our own time. Like mainly me and Athena, we usually like, well, it's usually like, sometimes it's quite hard to get us all in the same room at the same time because we're all so busy with other stuff. So a lot of the times it's like, it's either we individually have ideas that we bring to the band, like little demos that we've made or something, or it'll be like me and Athena will be in the studio together and we'll come up with an idea, or me and Lily and so forth, and kind of just all comes together pretty sporadically depending on how we're feeling on the day.
That's good. That's organic. That's what keeps it fresh. And also being able to have your own space. A lot of people get writer's block, but a lot of people get sort of limited in what they have on their hands or in their space, whether they can't make noise, anything like that. And therefore, it sort of prohibits that growth. Whereas if you've got, oh, I can quickly get that down. I'm just going to pop a mic in front of me and just quickly get that down. Having that freedom is really cool to be able to help your songwriting.
Yeah, definitely.
So with your music and your like gigs and stuff for the year, obviously there's new music coming out because you've been recording for an EP. What's sort of the plan for that? Is there a big like string of shows you're looking to push, or you're just hoping to see what happens?
We've been recording the EP and that's been really fun. We just bought an electric drum kit so that we can do all of that and put all the drum tracks in naturally and add fills and not have to spend 3 hours trying to figure out a simple fill on the keyboard. So that's been very handy. And then the goal is to go on tour at the end of the year. So we're in the process of trying to figure that all out and get that organised, but yeah, that's the goal, is to go on tour, because we've never been on tour before, so
yeah,
or a big tour at least.
In the whole many years that we've been a band, we've never been on tour.
Yeah. So yeah,
it's crazy.
That's exciting. That's cool. Well, when you guys get together, what is sort of your playing and your writing stuff like that? Are you working on more all the time, or is it sort of just like you're just focusing on getting something locked in right now and building on that from there? Or are you just constantly writing, constantly doing more?
We were always working on something new every time, and it would be like very sporadic. We jump from different songs to different projects week to week. But as Bree and I can't remember Bree or Gracie mentioned earlier, we're trying to pump this EP out. So finally we've tunnel visioned our focus onto just one broad project that we can channel our energy towards so we can get this out.
Yeah.
And not just have five songs on Spotify.
And it took us quite a while to get to that point, so we're on a real time crunch now.
Yeah.
Deadlines are both a friend and a frenemy sometimes. I'm currently working on a record with one of my bands, and the idea was that we were going to have all of it done, all of it tracked by the end of Feb, and by the end of the week we realized that might not have been fully tenable, and then thing after thing comes up, and then essentially we're like, okay, how about we just set a deadline, and then if it falls through, then we go, okay, sweet, let's reset, rather than, okay, we'll just figure out when everyone's free, because then it becomes 2027 and no one's actually recorded anything, because everyone's like, oh, when are you free? Oh, well, I can't quite get together in the room, and I can't get quite together. Like, do you guys all live really close enough, like really nearby, even though you're busy?
Yeah, we do live relatively close.
But that experience felt like an attack.
Yeah, sorry, I'm in this photo and I wish to report it.
Yeah, that hit a bit too close.
No, it's hard because, like, it's kind of like being in a band, it's kind of like being an entrepreneur, because it's like you're working for yourself at the end of the day. There's no higher above person telling you it has to be out by this day. It's kind of you're making your own deadlines, which kind of gives you, like, you have to be self-disciplined with yourself about it, because no one else is going to make you do it. And so it's like, we just have to make these promises to ourselves and hope that we can pull through.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, you have to be accountable to yourself. That's definitely number one.
I think another really big part of that that's maybe overlooked a lot of the time is that in a band, you're with other people, right? There's other members. So you always got to take into account that other people are experiencing different things at different times. So someone might be going through something, another person might be really busy, and so on and so forth. So it can sometimes just be life hitting you really hard on the head, and you just can't get it out on that deadline. And I think that needs to be addressed a lot more often than it is.
Absolutely, because I was like, I've said it once, I've said it 100 times on here. A band is a family, if nothing else. And I think the interesting dynamic with it is you have the connection that is the art, yes, but you really spend such a small amount of time doing that. You need to be super aware of everyone else as a person and as a hang, and on the drives there and the drives back and what we're doing in between sets. It's not simply, can she play? Because that's such a small portion of the overall picture.
Yeah, that's very true.
I'll go through each of you. What would be your most notable gig or most notable moment in the band?
I'll go first. I would say probably the most notable gig for me was when we played Groove in the Mood.
That was one.
Sorry. Well,
damn it.
Sorry.
Oh, make another one.
Yeah, Groove in the Mood was like a pretty big one. It kind of like cemented to me like, shit, we're actually doing something pretty cool and people are noticing. And it was like, I'd say it's the biggest stage we've ever played, and it felt just so surreal that whole day. And even though we were like the first band opening at like 11 o'clock in the morning or something, I still was ecstatic about it. I didn't care what time we were playing. I was just like, this is really fun.
That still hasn't cemented in my brain. Like, it hasn't happened. It was just like a dream that I dreamt up, and I just
imagine. Yeah, especially when you think about like how when you start, you obviously have these goals and things, and you have like pragmatic goals. It's like, I want to get together with some people that are good. I want to write 3 songs. I want to record something that I'm proud of. And then you have like the aspirational goals. It's like, oh, I'd love to play on a big festival stage. And then you go, look, I'm sure that'll, yeah, I'm just going to dangle that somewhere. It might come up. And then when it does, you're like, that's crazy.
Pretty much, yeah.
Skip me first, I'm still thinking.
Well, I wasn't in the bands when they played Groove in the Moon, so that one can't be mine. But
Terry's.
Yeah. We did play at Rolling Sets, but I feel like the most memorable one was when we done the Terry's Battle of the Bands, because it was just that whole day from start to finish was just the best day ever.
Yeah.
I feel like we all really bonded a lot that night too as a band.
In the mosh.
It was just, I don't know, it's a moment that will always be forever in my memories, because it was just such a nice, I don't know, it was a nice day, it was beautiful, it was so fun. So that's my most memorable gig.
That was like the craziest day for me. I experienced like 1 to 100 emotions in the span of one day. It was crazy.
Yeah, I was like, that day I was so like, I was trying to manifest. I was in the mindset of like, we're gonna win. There's no other option. And I was, yep. I looked borderline delusional, but it worked. So no one can say anything about it.
Exactly. So essentially, yeah, it was either crazy lady until it works, and then you're welcome.
Mine was definitely Rolling Sets. It's actually a surprise choice, but the more I think about it, that definitely was a huge day. Like, we had a pretty big crowd, and being backstage as well, like meeting all the artists and everything, and not just being a fan, like I was treated more just as a musician, as a person. Like, I had fairly big artists just come and chat to me, and it was a surreal experience, but it was like, I learned so much. And it was just really incredible to be like, wow, I feel like God right now.
It's crazy when people who are someone you aspire to, they just treat you like an equal, because of what, like, you're in that vibe, you're in that area, and it's just like, oh wow, oh, you're playing on the lineup tonight too. That's cool. So what? Tell me about you guys. Where are you guys from? And you're like, whoa, that's big, but I'm gonna be cool about it. Yeah, I play something. I am music.
That was pretty much exactly how it was meeting the Terrys and doing that whole experience with the Terrys. They're all so like down to earth, and it didn't feel like they were any higher up than us. Like, they were just treating us like we were just as, you know, we're just friends. And I thought that was really beautiful.
Yeah, I feel like the Aussie music scene does very well for that. Like when we went over the States, when I went over the States with Delacoma not that long ago, the vibe was friendly for a different way, I think more because of the novelty of the fact we had funny accents. But when you come back to Australia, Australians just have just a hey going larrikin attitude. We're mates first, and then when you find out, oh wow, you are very famous and I am not, and I'm a big fan, and they're like, oh, how you going? Would you like a beer?
That's exactly what happened. Word for word.
That's just what we're like, I guess. That's just what Aussies are like. And I think it's very, very cool to be part of an industry that is keen like that. So I absolutely relate. Now, we got. Have you had enough time to think now?
Yeah, I have. I'm actually throwing up too. I think I'll rock with one of them. I think opening for the night of King Street was a really, really cool experience. Mainly just for the fact that... Well, no.
No, I'm kidding, actually.
No, it was for the fact that, like, we were even considered for the spot out of all the Newcastle bands that have sprouted up here and that play here so regularly. We were the people that were considered to play for the opening night for a really big club in Newcastle, and that was just a crazy experience. But this is going to sound a little bit, like... I don't know, you can tell me, but also it just made me feel elite. Like, they had like a $10,000 bar tab that was just going on and around, and it just, like, it was an exclusive event that people had to get on the list for. Like, it just made me feel super powerful.
that is pretty crazy. It's like, oh, we're opening a new venue, that's pretty cool, and we'd like you to play. That's one thing, but that just takes it to like a whole new level.
Yeah.
Like, overall in Newcastle, what's the music scene like for you guys?
Huge.
I was gonna say not enough.
Oh, well, I mean, in the places I've grown up, which is pretty much everywhere in Australia, Newcastle is definitely the biggest music population. That's actually part of why I moved to Newcastle, why my mum brought me here when I was a couple of years ago, just for that, because she knew I liked music and there was a pretty big scene in like a performing arts school and everything, and definitely more could be done everywhere. But I think Newcastle, it's just like there's always a gig on at least three venues somewhere around your area, and there should be more support, but I think it's pretty good.
But also everyone in the Newcastle scene, like everyone loves each other.
It's a community, not a competition.
I think just adding to that, this, I had a different opinion to everyone else. I think it's a really good starting point for a band, because there are opportunities here, but they're not big opportunities. I think it's a really good starting point, but
it's a launch pad
more than anything. Yeah, it's a launch pad, and then once you've already used that launch pad a few times, it's kind of like, well, I'm just
perpetual trampoline.
Yeah,
it's going something.
Yeah, well, guys, what are you guys like? Obviously, you got the EP coming up right now, but what's happening in the next little while? This episode will be out, around that March mark. But what are you guys looking at over the next couple of months before outside of the record?
Oh,
we got the Gumball Festival.
Oh, yeah, we're playing Gumball. That's a pretty fun one that we're doing.
A Newcastle festival. You go camping there and it's just in the middle of nowhere with no service or anything. So it's going to be a lovely weekend.
Yeah, honestly, at the moment, we don't...
Dune Rats!
Oh, yeah, we're playing...
we're playing with Dune Rats!
Dune Rats!
I had to get out the calendar.
I'm like... Honestly, I'm in such like... EP mode right now. That's all I'm really thinking about, like,
yeah,
what the month is gonna look like rollout wise. We're in the middle of trying to plan all that stuff out, so I guess
content
is kind of just gonna look like lots of content being rolled out, merch,
and we also have a gig that Athena got us with a company that she works for, the agency.
But yeah, that's just an event series that I actually spearhead, so I don't think that's much of an achievement because I'm running the whole thing, but...
Good on you for doing the other side. Look, there's nothing wrong with having someone who's good at more than, like, good at more than one thing, yes, but, like, being able to do that part, that's a good in.
Yeah, and we're going to be playing with Dylan Atlantis from Sydney. They're so good, so that'll be really, really good.
How do you guys feel the sort of opportunity for DIY sort of exists? The biggest thing I noticed when I moved to the coast was that people just put on shows. As long as there's power and nothing's going to get damaged, like from the weather, people just put on shows here. Like, what's that sort of vibe for you? Is that really rare that people just sort of do DIY things, or is it pretty common that people are like, I want you and let's just see what happens, let's make something?
I managed to put together a DIY show for us when our last drummer left us. That was at my mate's house, and she lives in a terrace house. But I think aside from that, no, DIY isn't really a thing because...
It was a couple of years ago. There was like a lot of house party gigs, but COVID kind of killed that, I think. And also just COVID definitely dulled down the music scene heaps. In general.
I think this also delves a bit into like the economic crisis as well, though, with like all our friends not being able to afford like nice housing and like being able to like having certain restrictions on their house and stuff like that. So
even instruments and like equipment.
Yeah.
It's an investment.
Yeah.
It is. It's not cheap.
And it doesn't earn you money at first either.
No, I think it's one of the biggest disparities of how much it costs to have like 10% of what's behind me compared to how much I make to play 100% of it at any one point.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's always the thing where it's like you put the $5,000 worth of gear into the $3,000 car to drive 150 kilometers for a $10 gig. It's that adage all over again. Where can everyone find you? Where's all the music coming from? And give us a nice big plug to finish off.
You can find us at Butterknife Band on Instagram, just Butterknife, everywhere else, Spotify, wherever you stream your music. We're coming out with an EP on April 26th. That is the release date that we're going with, and hopefully we can stick with that. Otherwise, it's going to be a little bit awkward. And we're super keen to get it out. We've had a release schedule of probably like 1 to 2 songs a year.
This schedule that we've done is the one that stayed together the longest, so hopefully it will be out.
Nice, that's a good omen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope I didn't jinx it. We're hoping to break the streak and get some stuff out there.
Awesome. Awesome, guys. That's super awesome. Well, I know that a lot of people that I'm friends with that watch these episodes, they will be absolutely frothing what you do. And now they've got a chance to learn all about it and learn a little bit more about the gals behind the track. So thanks once again for hanging out with me and having a chat. And it was really good to learn a little bit more about Butterknife.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Well, guys, that's another episode in the can. And it was lovely to catch up with someone a little bit further afield this week. And as always, you know the drill, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, they're all the places you can find these ones. And until next time, I'll see you later.